never by my side.
Hey, you're listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sand Point, Alaska.
Like a lot of people, Counting Crows frontman Adam Duritz came around to a new hobby during the pandemic lockdowns.
About a month into the pandemic, I said to my girlfriend one day, I'm really worried I'm going to wake up a year from now and just have done nothing. I don't want to do that. I think I'm going to try and learn to cook everything.
That idea turned into an Instagram cooking series, but it's not the only thing Adam cooked up during that time. He also finished the first new Counting Crows album in 7 years, a four-song suite called Butter Miracle, Suite One. This week, the band is releasing a follow-up called Butter Miracle, The Complete Suites, so we're revisiting our 2021 session with the Counting Crows. You'll hear the band perform, and Adam talks about what it was like to hear that first EP come together.
That might have been the most satisfying moment of my career, honestly.
Adam Duritz of Counting Crows today. I'm Raina Duris. This is an Encore World Cafe. First, music from a Canadian icon. Hailing from Edmonton, the capital city of Alberta, it's Katie Lang, Outside Myself.
My soul, my body's frozen, and my heart is cold and still. So much about me is wrong. I search for a place to unthaw. Something in me. It's love into fear. It veils my vision, leaves my thoughts unclear. My eyes from blue turn to gray, hoping to mask what they say. I've been to what I've become, a fool to worship just light, when after all it follows night. I've been
close to God, I've been outside myself, so
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. This week, Counting Crows release a new album called Butter Miracle, The Complete Sweets. It's a follow-up to an EP they released back in 2021 called Butter Miracle Sweet One. Today, going back to their 2021 session when Adam Duritz and the band visited and performed. Enjoy. The first new Counting Crows album in 7 years isn't exactly your typical album. You could call the four-song Butter Miracle Sweet One an EP, but more accurately, as the title suggests, it's a suite. Four songs, almost like movements, connected and flowing into each other. It's new territory for Counting Crows songwriter and lead singer Adam Duritz, but as you'll hear in live performances he recorded with guitarist David Immergluck coming up, it still sounds unmistakably Counting Crows. Adam joins me for a conversation about the new album, and he takes a look back at some older Counting Crows songs, beginning with this one from their 1994 debut album, August and Everything After. Here, recorded live for World Cafe, it's Rain King, Counting Crows.
When I think of heaven, deliver me in a black winged bird, I think of flying down into a sea of pins and feathers, and all other instruments of faith and sex and God in the belly of a black winged bird. Don't try to bleed me, I've been here before, and I deserve a little more. I belong in the service of the Queen. I belong anywhere but in between. She's been crying, and I've been thinking, and I am the Rain King. I said, Mama, 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 why am I so alone? I can't go outside, I'm scared I might not make it home. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, but I'm sinking in. Well, if anyone's at home, it's your place, darling. Please invite me in, but don't try to leave. Been there before, and I deserve a little more. I belong in the service of the Queen. I belong anywhere but in between. She's been lying, and I've been sinking, and I am the Rain King. Hey, I only want the same as anyone. Mr. Henderson is waiting, 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 waiting for the sun. Oh, it seems night and the sleep begins and ends. And after all of the dreaming, I just come back home again. And I
game. So why don't you come in out of the rain?
Counting Crows performing their song Rain King. That was recorded live for World Cafe. That song is from their 1994 debut album, August and Everything After. They now have a brand new album, and to talk about it, I am joined by Counting Crows frontman Adam Duritz. Adam, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you, Raina. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. The new album is called Butter Miracle Sweet One. It's your first in 7 years, the longest break that you've taken between albums. After you released your last album in 2014, did you anticipate stepping away from music for that long?
It didn't really feel like we'd taken that much time off because we were touring the whole time. We just weren't making records. I really just didn't feel like writing at the time. I know if I start writing, I'm going to want to make a record and then you got to put it out. And I think I just didn't want to deal with the music business for a little while. I'm not one of those people who writes consistently. I just tend to write a record and make a record. And once I start writing, I want to record, generally.
Yeah. I mean, this new album is different from your past work. It still sounds like a Counting Crows album, but like the album title implies, it's a suite of songs that flow into each other. You wrote it while you were staying in the English countryside. So first of all, what were you doing there?
My friend has a farm in the west of England, and I'd been spending a lot of time there. In the last few years. It's a lot of hillsides and woods. They raise horses there, so there's a lot of horses around. Some young training, some retired. And I was over there in August of 2019. I had just shaved my head. And I just found myself wanting to play piano and try to write. And I hadn't really thought about it in a while. I rented a keyboard in London and a friend drove it down one weekend. It's hard for me. I have to kind of reteach myself to play piano each time.
Why is that? Why do you have to reteach yourself?
I just don't retain it. I don't know what the reason is exactly, but I tend to lose the ability to play, really.
Right.
And a few days later, I'd written The Tallgrass. It just kind of grew from there.
All the songs on the album flow into one another. It sounds really natural, like it's just kind of like happening as it goes. But could you tell us about that first day that you started writing? Like, where did the idea come from to structure it like a suite?
Well, when I finished Tallgrass, it was the next day. I was playing it some more and trying to decide if it was finished or if I wanted to extend it. And then I sang this line, you know, Bobby was a kid from around the town. And I was thinking, oh, well, maybe this is a longer song. And that sounds really cool. I like how that rose out of that. And then I started to work on it and I realized, no, this is a different song, but that's kind of cool how it came out of the song before it. What if I wrote a whole series of songs where the ending of one is the beginning of the next and they're composed so that they do flow like seamlessly one into the other? And that's what I kind of decided to do with that. That got me really excited. I really wanted to write that. I had been kind of dipping my toes into the idea of writing songs before that. But when that happened, and that obviously turned into Elevator Boots, that got me really excited. And from that point on, that was like, there was kind of a determination that that was what I was composing for.
The song Tall Grass, which we're about to hear, which opens the album and then goes into Elevator Boots, you kind of take us for a walk in that English countryside. You're from cities. You've dealt with the demands of being busy, a famous musician. What did it do for you lyrically and for your songwriting, just being able to walk in the grass?
I don't know. I think, you know, in that one song, I just started thinking about a little bit about life and death. That sort of blossomed from a small, very specific thought process to a much larger one about life and death in general. The tall grass begins very specifically and then goes very macro.
Yeah. I mean, the ball of souls floating in the sky, yeah. And everything. Yeah. Well, we're going to hear it, and you'll be able to hear as we listen to this live performance, the way that you've performed it for us, we hear it flow into Elevator Boots. So from Butter Miracle Sweet One and recorded live for World Cafe, it's Counting Crows, Tall Grass.
Mm-hmm.
come outside, she said to me, as if I knew just what she'd say. Come outside, we'll watch tomorrow, pull the curtain on today. Come outside into the tall grass and the old corn. And come outside, oh child, into the wild and wait for it. And all along I know I don't know the why. It takes me through the meadows and I have got a rifle on my arm. The rabbit won't stop shaking but the life is gone. And there's blood upon the clover and oh God, his eyes are open wide. Staring up at me and infinity and shrinking English sky. And all along I tell myself I don't know the why. And as the idea ossifies, I can't believe it's mine. And silent, and he says, just close my eyes. I have one eye open to the rain and one pressed to the ground again. And I don't know why. And I don't know why. And I don't know why. No, I don't know why. No, I don't know why. Don't know, don't know, don't know, don't know, no. Oh, she takes a train to Paris for a weekend with a friend. And take you places, trains and summers at 200 miles an hour. But you've never been, did I ever say? The way your breath takes mine away. As I stare out at the grassland, past the living and the dead, matter forming and decaying, a perpetual uprising. Hey, let there be a revolution and a light to lead us on. Just a ball of souls revolving, spinning circles round the sun. For the infinite and ageless, for the meaningless and painless. For the times we shook like rabbits, felt like children, made us ask this. Can you see me? Can you see me? Oh, can you see me? Can you see me? Can you see me? Hey, can you see me? For I am changing, but all the same things just come back to haunt me. There are planes that can take a girl to Paris. There are trains that can bring you home. There are some of us get broken when we're children, and you never get it back once that is gone. And I don't know why. No, 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 I don't know why. Kid from round the town, kicks pumped up and head held down. Underwater mall, he was up. He dreamed submarines in bottle green, imaginary flight machines. And in blue jean flares, he bubbled like a 7-Up. Everybody wants to know you when you're the only one who knows.
shoot it till you feel alive. Play one more show. Plug into the buzz and shake you till it turns around. And you can't stop feeling the Paul Smith suits and the elevator boots stand. And you can't help feeling they want you and you want to. With your lips on fire and your head unscrewed till it's time to whip another change and hit one more town. Bobby doesn't know your name. Holds on tightly just the same. Sometimes one more night is all you need. I met Alice near the Alamo one summer in San Antonio. I remember her, I don't remember me. Everybody wants to know you when you're the only one to know. Anything to feel alive and play one more show. Plug into the buzz and shake you till it turns around. And you can't stop feeling the Paul Smith suits and the elevator boots down. And you can't help feeling they want you and you want to. With your head's on fire and your head unscrewed till it's time to whip another change and hit one more town. Alice knows the secret and she could tell you now if you want to. Want you? Do you want to? Take your sparkle pen glide. It's hard to feel, and I can't get high. And I don't always understand how to smile. Man, kids get sick of being bottled up. They drag you down till you throw it up. I gotta get out of the house, take a ride on the radio dial. Everybody wants to know you when you're the only one to know. And everything that feels alive is in one more show. Plug into the buzz and shake it till it turns around. And you can't stop feeling the Paul Smith suits and the elevator boots is down. And you can't help feeling they want you and you want to. But the kids are so clean with the soul shampoo. Till it's time to whip another change. One more town. Oh, it's time to whip another change and hit one more town. Hey man, it's time to whip another change and hit one more town.
Recorded live for World Cafe, that was Counting Crows with Tall Grass, and then you heard it flow into Elevator Boots, just like it happens on the album. So first and second songs from their new album, Butter Miracle Part 1. I'm joined by Adam Duritz of Counting Crows today. I'm Raina Duritz. There are some lyrics in that last song we just heard, Elevator Boots, that seem to hint at the idea that maybe being in a band, being a rock star, can be a lot of fun, but sometimes it maybe isn't all it's cracked up to be. In that song, you're saying it in character. How close to home does it feel to sing something like that?
Oh, I mean, I think that's kind of a, I think, you know, music is probably the central thing in my whole life. From being a kid and being obsessed with it and loving music to then growing up and creating it myself, you know, and I think that Bobby and the Rat Kings and Elevator Boots are kind of companion pieces that way. You know, Bobby deals with, music from the perspective of a fan loving a band and how much they've meant to him and what a touchstone for his life they are. And Elevator Boots is from the perspective of a guy in a band talking about, you know, what life is like. I don't know that it's not all it's cracked up to be. It's just a description of what it is, you know, which is that people fade in and out of your life, places fade in and out of your life, but music is always there. There's always a gig tomorrow, and that's like the central thing of it, you know, that never goes away.
Right. When you were a kid, Bobby and the Rat Kings is the last song on the album. When you were a kid, who was that band for you? Who was the band that like was the thing you looked up to?
Oh, I mean, there were so many. Big Star was probably the most influential REM was a really big deal to me. I think Earth, Wind & Fire and the Commodores, P-Funk, you know, growing up in Oakland, funk music was a big thing. Miles Davis, I was obsessed with Miles Davis. There's so many musicians that the Velvet Underground.
I'd love to play a song from one of those artists right now. So give me a song that, like, when you were young, you were like, I want to get up on stage and I want to play like that.
I think September Girls from Big Star was a huge, huge thing for me. It's on Radio City. There's something about them. They were so ahead of their time. They sound melodically like the Beatles, but instrumentally they sound kind of like Cheap Trick or some of the heavy guitar bands that came later. But they also have this sort of sensibility of this innocence and this sort of soul bearing of a kid that you don't hear until, you know, a decade later with someone like the Replacements. You know, that becomes the way we sing music after that. But there wasn't anybody like that then. They're just really revolutionary.
Well, let's take a listen to that right now. Big Star with September Girls. September Girls from Big Star, chosen by my guest today, Adam Duritz of Counting Crows. I'm talking to Adam about their new album, Butter Miracle Sweet One, today. So you wrote the songs on Butter Miracle Sweet One on your own in England, and then you bring them to the band, and they're not in England with you, and then the pandemic happened. So how different was the actual recording process this time around from past albums?
Well, I mean, it was a little different in that, I mean, it started the same. You know, I was just recording stuff on my iPhone. When I would record each song, I would play the song and then I would play a couple lines into the next song so they could see how it would work. And I would just, you know, email them to everybody. And that's kind of a lot the way we did it normally. It was different this time in that we only started with five of us, which we usually have everybody in the room at once. And I kind of wanted to try and clear out. We have three guitar players, so I wanted to try and not have so much clutter right at the beginning. The plan was we would spend like 2 weeks and get most of everything done right then. And then we would take a quick 2 weeks off and everybody would go home. And then we'd bring Dan and Dave, our other two guitar players, into New York. But as we were finishing the last 2 days of those first 2 weeks, and we were about 85% done with the record, we were watching the news and it was the pandemic. You know, it was the second week of March. And so right when we hit the break, quarantine came down. So we were sort of stuck. We couldn't bring those guys into town. After a while, we realized we weren't going to be able to. So we eventually had them record at home and send the stuff to us. And then we all got together like a few months later. Our producer and our engineer, Brian Deck and Neil Strout, drove from Chicago to New York so they wouldn't have to fly. And everybody stayed at my house and I cooked for everybody. And we found a studio just two blocks away, the Cutting Room, where we could just put the guitars in and then mix the record, where we could walk so we wouldn't have to take Ubers because we wanted to be really careful. Because this is right in the height of the pandemic, but we wanted to finish the record, but we really needed to be careful. So I cooked and we all just stayed, you know, in one place.
What was it like after all of that to finally hear the finished product of this thing that you'd sort of come up with on your own in England on a farm?
Well, that was really cool because I don't know that I'd ever had I had this idea that this thing would work flowing together, but you don't know. Maybe you played something too fast or something too slow and you just screwed it up and they're not going to fit together like the puzzle pieces they're made to, but it did. And when I heard that, that might have been the most satisfying moment of my career, honestly, just because I'd had to hold it in just my imagination for so long.
That's Adam Duritz of Counting Crows talking about hearing the completed version of their 2021 EP, Butter Miracles Suite 1. After the break, you'll hear why taking up cooking during the pandemic was so important to Adam, aside from getting to feed the band members while they were finishing off that record. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to an encore World Cafe. I'm Raina Duritz. My guest is Counting Crows frontman Adam Duritz. In 2021, Counting Crows put out an EP called Butter Miracles Suite 1, and we recorded this interview around that time. Just before the break, Adam was talking about cooking for the band while they were making that album during quarantine. Finishing the album is not all you've done during the pandemic. You've also been doing a series of cooking videos on Instagram, everything from turkey burgers to green curries, grilled cheese sandwiches, you name it. Have you always enjoyed cooking?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Berkeley. It's a very, like, they call it a gourmet ghetto. And I don't know, you know, about a month into the pandemic, I said to my girlfriend one day, I'm really worried I'm going to wake up a year from now and just have done nothing. You know, that I'll just have been sitting here for a year. I don't want to do that. I think I'm going to try and learn to cook everything. You know, I'd always cooked, but I really worked on it.
I think that feeling of feeling like you're not going to do enough during the pandemic is very, very relatable. And I read an interview that you did where you talked about that, where you have that kind of anxiety around not doing anything or not doing enough. Where does that come from?
Well, I think probably a bit from, and I've been really successful as a musician, but that's a nearly impossible thing to do. And I spent 10 years in the clubs, you know, and doing other jobs and not knowing how I was going to be able to take care of myself, because being a musician is one thing. Figuring out how to support yourself as a musician, that's a whole other thing. And it doesn't seem very likely, you know, and I think that I had so many years where I didn't seem to have much of a future that I get a little anxious about that stuff now. You know, I know that I when I go to see a obviously there's no movie theaters right now, but for years when I'd go to see a matinee, coming out of a movie theater in the daylight used to really freak me out, because it reminded me of a time when I didn't have much going on in my life and I used to go see movies in the daytime. It still kind of hits me. I've had 30 years of success and working and being basically a workaholic, and I still have a little emotional trouble coming out of a movie in the daylight, because it reminds me of this time when I didn't have much going on. Also because it's not a job that lasts very long. It has for us, but you know, historically and generally, a career in music lasts 5 minutes or a year. I mean, you want it to last your whole life and you expect it to, but that's just an unrealistic expectation. It's really bizarre that it has.
I mean, now you deal with that anxiety by making cooking videos or whatever the hobby that you get into now, but when you were younger and you didn't know that it was going to last, how did you deal with that worry then?
I just worried. I mean, yeah. You know, we played in three bands at once. We were in three different bands. We like were out in the clubs every night playing music or rehearsing or seeing our friends play. I mean, we were all obsessed. And, you know, it seemed like no one was hearing anything we were doing. And because it was, you know, we were playing like every band in the world that plays. You're playing in a club. No one's coming to see you. I mean, maybe some people are, but it's not like record companies are making the track. You know, they finally did at some point, and everything sort of took off from there. But, you know, there was, I was 28 when I was 27 the first time anyone from a record company ever came to see a band I was in. I was 28 when we got signed, and I was 29 when our first record came out. Like 6 months later or 8 months later, on my 30th birthday, we opened for the Stones, you know, like, so, I guess it was about 10 months later. But what I mean is, like, I wasn't a kid when it started, because I'd been playing. You do it because without much reward for a long time, most people, you know, it's not, most people do it without reward forever. Mm-hmm. We've just, you know, been really lucky that way.
I'm speaking with Adam Duritz of Counting Crows today on World Cafe. To finish off, we are going to hear you perform one of my favorite Counting Crows songs. And I understand it's one that you really love too, Long December. Could you take us back? What do you remember from writing this song?
Well, my friend Jen had been hit by a car, and she got just wrecked by it. I used to spend a lot of my days that fall and winter. I would spend the days in the hospital because everybody else, you know, they had jobs during the day. I was making recovering the satellites right then, but we didn't usually work early in the day. So I would spend a lot of my days in the hospital with her. You know, then I would leave there and I would go to the studio and work until we were done, and then either just go home or go to the Viper Room, because I was bartending there then. I was sort of writing a song about that fall and what it was like. I left the Viper Room that night with a few friends and went to their house. We used to call their house Hillside Manor. It was my friend Tracy Falco and Samantha Mathis, who was in that great movie Pump Up the Volume right before then. And I left their house about 4 a.m. and went home and just had this idea right away. And I wrote the song between 4 and 6 a.m. And the next day I drove to, like, around lunchtime, I drove to Geffen, to the clubhouse on Sunset, and played it for my A&R guy, because I was so excited about it. It just seemed like a perfect song to me. And then I went to the hospital for a while, and then to the studio, and I played it for the guys before dinner and taught it to them after dinner, and we finished it. It's like take 5 or 7. I mean, it was written and recorded in under 24 hours. I still think it's probably the most perfect thing I've ever written. It just seems timeless and kind of gem-like to me. It just, there's something perfect about it. I don't know that I have anything else like that.
You know, you remember that so clearly, and you've played that song thousands of times, I'm sure, over the course of your career. What does it feel like now? Like, what do you think about when you perform it now, 25 years later?
All the same stuff. I feel like those songs, a good song doesn't really get old for you. It just, you can always kind of run whatever is going on in your life today through the song, and it has a different meaning. But, you know, Long December's probably the one song I never get tired of. It's the only song that I just never have a day where I feel, where I say, you know, I don't feel like playing that. And that happens with every song. But for some reason, not that one.
Let's hear it. A Long December. It's Counting Crows, live for World Cafe.
A long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. I can't remember the last thing that you said as you were leaving, but now the days go by so fast. And it's one more day up in the canyon, and it's one more night in Hollywood. I could be forgiven. I wish you would. Na 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 na
hospitals in the winter, and the feeling that it is all a lot of oysters, oh, but no pearls. And all at once, you look across the crowded room, see the way that light attaches to a girl, a girl, a girl, a girl, and it is one more day up in the canyon, and it's one more night in Hollywood. Do you think you might come to California? I think you should. Hillside Manor sometime after 2 a.m. and we talked a little while about the year. I guess the winter makes you laugh a little slower, makes you talk a little lower about the things that could not show her. And it's been a long December, and there's reason to believe that maybe this year will be better than the last. I can't remember all the times I tried to tell myself to hold on to these moments as they pass. And it's one more day up in the canyon. And it's one more night in Hollywood. Man, it's been so long since I have seen the ocean. It's been so long since I have seen the ocean. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's been so long since I have seen the ocean. And well, I guess I should. Na 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 na.
Counting Crows with a performance recorded live for World Cafe of their song A Long December from their 1996 album Recovering the Satellites and from the first mixtape my first boyfriend ever made me. Counting Crows have a new album out. It is called Butter Miracles, Sweet One. Adam Duritz has been my guest today. Adam, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Raina. That was a really nice interview. I appreciate it.
I'm Raina Duritz, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break, you heard an encore session with the Counting Crows from 2021 when they visited to promote their EP, Butter Miracle Suite 1. Their follow-up, called Butter Miracle The Complete Suites, is out this week. It's World Cafe. Some soul on the way once you make it across this tightrope with Janelle Monáe.
Monáe and left foot.
Sort of like a man in a bar. Come on.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Mm-hmm.